Welcome to Functional Medicine Unfiltered podcast with Dr. Megan Stanga. Join us as we deep dive into the most important health issues of our time. We'll discuss what's really at the root of chronic illness and answer the questions, why can't you get better? What's really wrong with you? And why can no one figure it out? Join Dr. Stanga as she shares the secrets of how she's helping her patients heal chronic illness and get their lives back.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Megan Stanga. Thank you for joining me again this week. First of all, if you listened to my last episode, episode 2, I apologize. That episode was just not great sound quality. I went back and listened to it and was like, oh my gosh, this is not good. But I think I finally figured it out. What I can promise you right now is that I am a much better doctor than I am a podcast recorder at this point. So thank you for hanging in there with me. I'm hoping this one's going to be much better sound quality. If you did listen to episode 2, though, what the entire episode was about was the immune system, immune function, and immune dysregulation. Again, anytime somebody comes in to see me, the number one question that they have is, what's wrong with me? What's at the root of my issues? And across the board, regardless of what you're coming to see me for, if you're walking through my door, the problem is your immune system. Whether it's an inflammatory response, an autoimmune response, an allergic response, cancer, mystery symptoms that nobody can figure out, what is at the root of it is a dysregulated immune system. So we spent the entire episode talking about that and what that looks like. Today, we're focused on the triggering events that lead to immune system dysregulation. This is huge, you guys. These are the things that I have seen over the course of several years working with patients and listening to their story over and over and over, the things that I've pinpointed back that are always at the root as a precursor to somebody's health regression or decline. And the reason I know that, right, is because every single person, I always ask them, listen, when was the last time you felt well? When did you notice a shift in your health? And many people know, right? They know what the triggering event was. They can pinpoint it back pretty specifically. And then some people don't. Some people, they don't know, right? But they can maybe tell me a time and they'll say, you know, summer of 2019. I don't know what happened, but I know it was summer of 2019 that everything shifted. And then that's when we dig information out of them. And I'm still able to typically pinpoint back what the triggering event was. But that is what this episode is focused on, is what are the things that cause immune system dysregulation? To me, this is probably one of the more important topics, especially with everything that we're dealing with right now with COVID and post-COVID syndrome and vaccinations. There's a lot that we're going to be talking about in this episode, and I'm super excited to cover it. With that said, this is like the warning label for the episode now. This is the warning part, right? We will be talking about some sensitive information later on in this podcast. I'm going to kind of leave the sensitive stuff for the very, very end. And I'm going to do my absolute best to present the information in the most unbiased way that I can. However, I am a little biased because when you hear the stories that I hear over and over and over, and you know, you see these things presenting themselves over and over, you can't help but feel a little frustrated. And I would even say a little angry, right? Because I think that anger isn't always bad. I think that you can have healthy, righteous anger, especially when it's rooted in like injustice. And to me, what we're going to be talking about today feels like injustice to me. When something is communicated to doctors over and over and over, communicated to them by their patients that this was something that was a precursor to symptoms and it was a precursor to their health decline. And then when we're continually told, oh, nope, it's just a coincidence, correlation doesn't mean causation. Well, I respectfully disagree with that. And today we're going to talk about the science behind why this thing that I'm talking about, that I'm being very like evasive about right in this moment, we're going to talk about the science behind why it really is true that it is a triggering event. And I'm going to share multiple patient stories to show you what I'm talking about. But I'm super excited for this one. This is just a huge episode. It's going to be dealing with some really important information. It's a conversation that needs to be had. And I think that when we start shutting down conversations, that's when we get into a problem, because the only way that we can push forward and the only way that we can continue to help people get better is to have conversations, even if you disagree with them, right? It's still good to hear the information. So that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be having a good, hard conversation. I think that's a good thing. So let's jump into triggering events. Actually, before we do that, I need to recap the immune system. So if you didn't hear episode 2, which even if you listened to it, you may not have heard it because that's how not great the sound quality was. So let me just kind of recap the immune system. So here's the thing. Immune system 101, making it easy to understand. There's two sides to the immune system. We always think of the immune system as this like one thing that's either strong or weak, but that's not how it works. There's two parts to the immune system. There's a Th1 cell-mediated response, and this is what I refer to as the killer response. So one side of the immune system is killing for us, viruses, bacteria, cancer, parasites, pathogens. And then the other side of the immune system, Th2, we call it the humoral response. And this is the antibody response. This is the memory response. So this is the side of the immune system that remembers what Th1 fought. And its job is to identify the enemy moving forward in the future. So one side's killing, one side's remembering. And when we're healthy, they work side by side together in harmony. The issue comes when there becomes an imbalance between the two sides. And when the Th2, the antibody memory response, becomes overstimulated, well, we see issues there. Because when the side of the immune system whose entire job is to identify the enemy, when it's overstimulated, it thinks everything's the enemy. It thinks that you are the enemy. It thinks that the foods you eat are the enemy. It thinks that your environment's the enemy. And so when Th2 is overstimulated, the result is going to be inflammatory response, allergic response, and autoimmune response. So if anybody's ever like, we don't know what causes autoimmunity, we don't know what causes inflammation or allergies, yes, we do. It's an overstimulated Th2 response. That is what it is. And that brings up another good point. Oftentimes people blame inflammation as the root cause of symptoms, but really inflammation is a symptom of something deeper. Inflammation is the symptom of an immune system response. It's the symptom of an overstimulated Th2 response. So at the same time that Th2 is overstimulated, Th1 is suppressed because it kind of works like the seesaw effect. One side goes high, the other side goes low. And so when Th2 is high, Th1 is low. When Th1 is suppressed, then your immune system isn't killing for you the way that it should. So number one, if we're dealing with something like cancer, well, that's not ideal because the Th1 part of the immune system is the cancer fighting part of the immune system. But when Th1 is low, it also leaves you susceptible to reactivated infections. Again, a quick recap on a reactivated infection. What is that? A chronic infection is different from an acute infection. And the best example I can give is chickenpox and shingles. Chickenpox is acute. You get it when you're 5 years old. You go through a bout of an itchy rash for a week. Then you get over it, right? And then you turn 65 and you go through a stressful event. And all of a sudden, that chickenpox you got when you were 5 reactivates. And now we're calling it shingles. And shingles looks different than chickenpox does. That's an example that everybody knows and can connect with. Another easy one to talk about is like cold sores. Cold sores are herpes simplex virus 1, and it's a virus that's always dormant in your body. But when you're under, typically, most people will say stress, there's certain things that will trigger this thing to reactivate, and then it pops up as a cold sore on your mouth. And we can look at it and we know that's herpes simplex virus 1, right? Because we know what it looks like. Well, what conventional medicine isn't as familiar with is the fact that any pathogen, not just shingles, right? Not just varicella zoster, not just herpes simplex, any pathogen can reactivate and cause chronic issues for people. Just like we can look at shingles, just like we can look at a cold sore, we know instantly what it is. We know instantly, or I do, right? After dealing with these pathogens for a really long time, we know what these pathogens look like in their reactivated form. Each pathogen just has these classic symptoms that you always see connected to it. So when Th1 is suppressed, it then leaves you susceptible to reactivated infections. And so then we have people who have these autoimmune issues and inflammatory responses. And at the same time, they're chronically fatigued, right? they have joint pain and they have muscle pain, right? And so where's that coming from? And so that's when it becomes my job to identify the pathogen, right? And again, like Epstein-Barr virus is going to be chronic fatigue, and Lyme is what we're going to see with joint pain and muscle pain and things like that. So a lot of the symptoms that people are dealing with, a lot of the symptoms that we've put other labels on, what they really are, what's really at the root of them is a reactivated infection. That's where, no matter what you come into my office for, wherever you fall on the spectrum, in the end, it is a dysregulated immune response. And the job becomes, right, figuring out where the dysregulation is, what pathogens are behind it. That was what episode 2 was all about, is reactivated infections. We talked about Lyme. We talked about the co-infections, Epstein-Barr virus, some of the big pathogens that I see behind people's reactivated symptoms. Now, today, we're going to talk about what are the things that cause the immune system to suddenly become dysregulated, right? You're going through life, feeling great, everything's good. And then suddenly, in an instant, right, you can pinpoint back, everything shifted, everything changed. And now all of a sudden, you have all of these symptoms. Now all of a sudden, you have all the inflammation markers showing up, and you have autoimmune diagnosis and thyroids going crazy. And just all of a sudden, in this time period, things shifted. Well, there's a reason behind everything, right? And when people are like, oh, we don't know, we just don't know what causes this. Well, we do, right? And there's always a reason, and there's always triggering events. And that's what we're going to talk about today, are the things that I always see behind as the precursor to the immune system shifting. The first one is stress. And I'm going to start with this one because I don't have to convince you of this. We all already know it, that stress plays a huge role in decreasing the Th1 immune system response. And it's kind of like this fight or flight mode that we go into when we're under stress, and the immune system shifts as well, because when we're in a fight or flight mode, we want our entire body to be on alert to basically deal with the stressor that's in front of us. So just like all of the other systems in the body shift in a stress response, so does the immune system. And when you're in a prolonged bout of stress, then it can kind of be a permanent shifter of the immune system. And when I say stress, I'm not just talking about like classic stress that most people think of, right? When I say stress, we're thinking like divorce, and we're thinking like you lost your job and somebody died, and we think about these sorts of things. But that's an emotional stressor. There's other kinds of stressors. There are physical stressors. There's environmental stressors. So I'm not just talking about the emotional, mental stressors. So as an example, another thing that I'll see are physical stressors. For instance, surgeries. Very often, surgery is a precursor to somebody's health decline. I've had many people over the years, for instance, after breast augmentations, that all of a sudden, everything shifted after they got their implants in, and things never were the same. And even after they got the breast implants removed, they continue to have these mystery symptoms and chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and thyroid issues, and everything just went haywire after this surgery. The reason is because that is a huge physical stressor to the immune system. And in that situation in particular, right, we're putting a foreign object into the body, which is also causing an immune system response. And once you shift the immune system, it's like the straw that breaks the camel's back. And once you cross that threshold, it shifts, and then you're there. And so even go back, you take them out. Well, that's another surgery. That's another stressor to the immune system. So even just removing them is not always the solution, because you're now still stuck with this dysregulated immune response. But really, it can be any sort of physical stressor. It could be a really severe car accident. It could be other kinds of surgeries. But physical stressors can also play a role in shifting the immune system. It could also be environmental stressors. For instance, I can just think of a couple of people off the top of my head. For instance, as an example, had a patient who went to Vegas, and he just went all out, and he drank all the things and ate all the bad things and stayed up late and was really, really hard on his body. And he already had some like health issues. He already knew that he was kind of sensitive to certain foods and kind of had a little bit of alcohol intolerance, didn't always tolerate it well. And so then he went and just bombarded his body with all of these things. And then he was never the same after that. Like ever since he did that and went to Vegas and did all these things right, he's never been the same ever since and had all of these issues. The reason for that is because we know that certain foods can be very immune stimulating and very immune triggering. That is what really the purpose of an elimination diet is. If you've ever heard of an elimination diet or done an elimination diet, what it does is it eliminates the foods that are most triggering to the immune system. You know, people always talk about, oh, inflammation, the inflammation causing foods. We need to take a little bit deeper, right? It's not that the foods cause inflammation. It's the foods trigger the immune system and the dysregulated immune response causes the inflammation. And so there are certain foods that we know just tend to be more irritating to the immune system. And those are going to be things that you probably already know, things like gluten and processed sugar and dairy and corn and soy, caffeine, pork. These are things that any good elimination diet, you're going to be eliminating these things. And the reason that it cuts down on inflammation is because it's cutting out the foods that trigger your immune system to put it into a slightly better state to bring down the inflammation. If you're kind of going into a situation where you're already borderline with your immune system, you're already maybe kind of just teetering on the edge, and then you bombard it with all of these things, then it can be a triggering event that sends you over the edge and you're never the same after that. So that's really the first triggering event that I see is stress. And it's stress of any form, whether it be emotional or physical or environmental. So triggering event number two is pregnancy. And this triggering event, I completely relate to because it was my triggering event. I'll say I kind of had a combination of several, but this was really like the one that sent me over the edge was pregnancy. So in pregnancy, again, what people don't always realize is that your immune system shifts by nature. It's intended to shift so that you'll hold your pregnancy. So in pregnancy, your immune system, the killer response goes down, the immune system shifts, and it's because we don't want the immune system attacking the baby. We don't want the immune system recognizing the baby as the enemy and then attacking it. And so the immune system shifts in pregnancy so that you can make it through pregnancy. And that's an intended effect. That's what happens in nature. So an interesting thing is that a lot of people who have miscarriages, I would say every person, right, that's having a miscarriage issue where you're able to get pregnant, but you just can't hold the pregnancy. You want to know what that is? It's an immune system issue. Your immune system is in this state of the response thinking everything's an enemy. And so you get pregnant and the immune system thinks the baby's the enemy and you can't hold the pregnancy. A miscarriage is another example of immune dysfunction. With that being said, let's say you get pregnant, you go through pregnancy, and then after baby's born, and specifically after you stop breastfeeding, the immune system is supposed to shift back. And in some situations, it never does. It remains shifted in this skewed direction, and you're never the same after that. And that is when you're then diagnosed with Hashimoto's, or you're diagnosed with Graves, or all of a sudden you have rheumatoid arthritis, or you just have chronic fatigue and hair loss and insomnia and hormonal issues, and just things go crazy after your pregnancy. Well, the reason for that, it's an immune system issue. In pregnancy, the immune system shifted, you didn't recover from it, and now you have all of these issues. It's interesting because, you know, actually just somebody today, a patient was saying, my mom has autoimmunity, and my sister does, my grandma does, they all have. And, you know, women just tend to have more autoimmune issues. It's just genetic. And I'm like, well, really? A lot of times the things we blame on genetics is really not that. It's really chronic infections being passed down from generation to generation. And when you look at why women have more autoimmunity, it's because they're put in a situation for their immune system to become dysregulated in the way that a man never is, right? Men don't go through pregnancy multiple times in their life. So they're never put in a situation where they're having a huge shifting of their immune system happening, whereas women do, and oftentimes multiple times through their life. So that's why really women tend to have more autoimmune issues, is because just naturally we're put into a situation where our immune system is shifted. And if we don't recover from it, then that is what sends us over the edge into full-blown autoimmune disorders. So that is what happened to me after, again, I would say it definitely wasn't my primary triggering event because I had a lot of stress happening in my life. Prior to that, I had had a viral infection that we'll talk about later. But pregnancy for me was what sent me over the edge, and I never recovered after that. And it was a very clear shifting that I saw after my second pregnancy. And it is a story that I hear repetitively from people that they were just never the same after a certain pregnancy. So now you know why. It's an immune system problem. It points back to an immune system issue. So then the next step is identifying what the reactivated infections are. The third triggering event that we'll talk about are acute viruses. And I'll spend just a little bit of time here and we'll come back to this. But acute viruses are another triggering event that I see. So in situations like, again, for me, I would say when I got mono, when I got that acute viral infection, really, truly, I was never quite the same after that. And I wasn't as bad as like the triggering event of pregnancy, but I would say my first triggering event was getting mono and never really fully recovering from it. And that ends up being something that I hear frequently from people. Sometimes people will say, I don't know what happened or what the virus was, but I got some sort of a virus and then I was never the same. What is COVID? It happens to be a virus. And so we're seeing a lot of that. A lot of people saying, I got COVID and I've never been the same. And I have all of these lingering things happening. And it's interesting because right now, this is the first time in conventional medicine, they're like, oh, wow, like an acute virus is causing kind of these long-term problems. And they're looking into that, right? And trying to understand why. But the thing is that we really already know why, right? Any virus can do this. It can shift the immune system. And then what happens is that the person starts to experience the symptoms of reactivated pathogens. So I'm seeing that lots of Lyme in particular, I'm seeing a lot of Lyme reactivating after COVID. So all of a sudden, somebody has COVID. And after that, they have these brain-based symptoms. They are having heart issues, which is definitely Lyme related. They're having lung issues, which is Lyme mycoplasma related. They're having chronic fatigue and pain syndromes. They're having loss of taste and smell. These are all things that I see with Lyme. And so again, acute virus shifts the immune system. And now we're presenting with all of these chronic reactivated infections. So that is triggering event number three. The next triggering event that we're going to talk about is the one that I was kind of giving you the warning about, that we can definitely see some emotional triggering happening with this one. We can see some cognitive dissonance happening with this one. But triggering event number four is vaccination. So let me just kind of walk you through the science of how a vaccination works before we get into some patient stories. So here's the deal. If you really think about it, how could it not? How could it not be a triggering event? Vaccine, you know, immunology 101, if you think about how a vaccine works, the whole design of it is it wants to trick the immune system. It wants to do something that's not normally found in nature. So let me take you through what's supposed to happen. So what's supposed to happen is you come in contact with a pathogen, you fight it off, and then you form a memory of it. You form an antibody response. And the next time you see it, you're better and you know what to do with it. And so when normally in nature, right, you come in contact with a virus, a pathogen, and both sides of your immune system become activated. Th1, which is the killing response. And of course, if you think about, well, how does the immune system kill? It kills with symptoms, right? You get a fever, you get a rash, you get congestion, you have things pushing the infection out of the body. The body heats up. You see all of these things happening. And all of that is a Th1 killer response. And then you see the Th2 activated with building the memory of what Th1 did. And so the next time it sees it, it knows what to do and deal with it better. So again, in nature, both sides get activated. So when it comes to vaccines, the idea behind that is, wouldn't it be great if we could somehow create a memory response of a pathogen without you actually having to get it? Wouldn't it be great if you can build a memory of chickenpox, but you don't have to get chickenpox? That sounds really awesome. And that's what a vaccine does, right? It stimulates Th2 while suppressing Th1. And that is how it has to be in order for you to create a memory without getting the pathogen. It's how it works. And so that's great, except for there's a consequence to doing that. There is a consequence to shifting the immune system in this way, which is what we just talked about in episode two and what I recapped earlier in this podcast, which is when you shift the immune system into Th2 dominance and Th1 suppression, there's a result that happens. There's an effect, cause and effect, right? And when you do that, it shifts it into an allergic, autoimmune, inflammatory state, and it suppresses your Th1 killer cancer fighting part of the immune system. The thing is, I think that if you were to get a vaccine here or a vaccine there, right, you could recover from it. And some people do. Certainly, everybody responds differently when they're vaccinated. But the thing is that over the years, the vaccine schedule has shifted tremendously. And, you know, the vaccines that, for instance, I was given, now the schedule has almost quadrupled in terms of dosing as to what, like, I got when I was a child. I kind of compare it to, like, antibiotics. Are antibiotics good? Yeah, they're awesome, right? In certain situations, an antibiotic is needed. But I think that we've all kind of come to the thought process that you can also take too many antibiotics, and you kind of want to be careful with that. So as we're in generations past, we would overprescribe antibiotics, but then we saw it causing problems. And now there's this understanding of, okay, antibiotics are great, but we don't want to overuse them. So it's the same sort of a thought process with a vaccination, in the sense that, you know, if you're taking a pharmaceutical injection, right, that the intended purpose of it is to dysregulate your immune system, it's to shift it. That's the intended purpose of it. It's to overstimulate a Th2 response and suppress the Th1 response. There's kind of this thought process of vaccines are completely safe and effective, that there's not any sort of possible way that they could cause any sort of issue. But if you really think of it, that doesn't even really logically make sense, right? If you're dealing with something that the intended purpose of it is to shift your immune function, then how could it not? You know, how could it not do something? Everyone is different and everybody's going to respond differently. And some people are going into a vaccination with maybe a really solid immune system. And so maybe they can handle it and they get a couple of vaccines and they tolerate it well. But then there's some people who are going in who already have a shifted immune system and are immunocompromised. And so in those people, it can sometimes be the thing that sends them over the edge, and they're never the same, that it's the straw that breaks the camel's back and everything shifts after that. And I know this to be true because I hear the story from patients over and over. Oftentimes, patients will come in knowing that the vaccine is what shifted. They don't always understand what happened, but they will come in knowing that the vaccine was the precursor to their issue starting. And then other times, people don't always know and they haven't connected the dots. So I want to share a few examples of what I'm talking about. So the first one, I'll start with a couple of people who didn't connect the dots. They didn't come in really knowing. And so one patient I'm thinking of in particular, she came in and all that she knew is that in March of 2020, everything changed for her, and that she had a sudden shift in her health. And all of a sudden, she was experiencing severe burning pain in her joints and muscles. She was having really tender, sore lymph nodes. She was waking up with headaches all the time. She was having all of these over-responsive allergic responses. So suddenly, she was reacting to foods and to the environment. And she had horrible chronic fatigue and brain fog and dizziness. And again, the burning joint pain and muscle pain was something that was really bothering her. And it was kind of just this sudden shift she didn't understand, but she did know that it was like March of 2020 when it happened. And so, of course, as I'm listening to this story, again, I always think back, what are the triggering events? And if somebody doesn't know what it is, then I try to better understand how they got to this place, because it allows me to help them better. So one of the things I always tend to do very casually is I will ask, you know, so what's your vaccination history? And because I know that this can be a subject that people are sensitive to, I really just ask it in a very kind of harmless way, just like, hey, when was the last vaccine you had? And so she was actually somebody who was like, you know what? oh, I really don't get vaccines that much. It's been a while. And so we keep moving on and I'm thinking, well, there's got to be something. There had to have been something that shifted. And so I start asking about past health history and I'm saying, have you had chicken pox? Have you ever had shingles? Have you ever had strep throat? And then it triggered a thought and she was like, oh, shingles. She's like, actually, now that I think about it, I didn't get shingles, but I had a horrible reaction to the shingle shot. And I'm like, so you did get a vaccination? And she's like, yes, actually, now that I think about it, yes, I did. And she was like, it was right before I had to go to this wedding and it was just awful. I had this awful reaction. I'm like, okay, so well, when was that? And she was like, well, if the wedding, she was like, I guess it was March. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so you're telling me you got the shingles shot in March. You had this horrible reaction to it. And then, but you're also telling me all of your symptoms started in March. And I'm like, so was the shot before or after the symptoms started? And so she thinks about it and she's like, oh my gosh, now that I think about it, it was before. It was right. Yeah. I was never the same after I got the shingles shot. And then I had this reaction and yeah, it all started after that. And I'm like, I know. That's why I was asking you about it. And so that's a clear cut situation where we're like, yep, that for her was her triggering event, that she had a reaction to the shot. She was never the same. It dysregulated the immune response. And then all of her symptoms, right, are classic presentations of chronic infections that I see. And this is somebody who is towards the end of her treatment at this point. And we treated her for, if I'm remembering correctly, it was Epstein-Barr virus and Lyme and Bartonella. And I think one of the herpes viruses, and she's doing amazing. Like all of the symptoms are gone. She's doing awesome because those infections were at the root of those symptoms and they're like 95% gone at this point. That is a classic example of we had a triggering event that caused immune dysregulation and then reactivated infections flared up, caused all of these symptoms. And then we treated her with immune therapy to treat the infections and it brought those symptoms and the infections dormant again. Another example that I can give you is there's so many, which you know what? A couple of weeks ago, I actually had three patients come in like back to back to back. And I was just like, oh my gosh, it was one of those days where I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. This is just, it feels like an injustice. So all in the same day, first new patient, nurse practitioner. She's actually a nurse practitioner who pretty much her primary job is giving vaccinations. And she knew for a fact that the COVID vaccine was what triggered her issues. And for her, she was suddenly diagnosed with POTS after her COVID vaccine. And if you don't know what POTS is, it stands for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And it's essentially when all of a sudden you start fainting. So she's diagnosed with POTS maybe a week and a half, right? She starts having these episodes right after the COVID shot. And so even as nurse practitioner who vaccinates, she understood that that was the triggering event. And so again, in a situation like that, we know, okay, we had this triggering event. It shifted the immune system. Now she's got POTS, she's got chronic fatigue, she's got all of these other symptoms. And of course, we have to narrow down what the infections are. POTS is always Lyme. I've treated POTS many times. Lyme is always at the root of POTS. She had chronic fatigue. And so it was clear, right, that there was a lot of reactivated infections that had reactivated because of the COVID vaccine. Then my next new patient was somebody who also, after her COVID vaccine, all of a sudden, within a week and a half, she was diagnosed with Graves' disease, had never had any issues up to that point. You know, no thyroid markers were ever dysregulated. She didn't have any symptoms of Graves. And then within a week and a half, 2 weeks, she's full-blown Graves' disease. All of her markers are off the charts. Symptoms are off the charts. And she's on a medication for this within 2-3 weeks of her COVID vaccine. Then the third patient that came in that day was another person that after the COVID vaccine, they already went into it with some issues, right? They already kind of had some fatigue and some things going on, but then the COVID vaccine exacerbated it. And now, you know, this person is in a position where they're just chronically fatigued, brain fog, dizziness, can't get out of bed. It just really sent them over the edge. So these are three patients back to back to back, and all three of them knew that it was the precursor. I didn't have to put the pieces together. They even were aware of that. And then just recently, in the last couple of weeks, I had two other patients come in. That, again, another one was a nurse. She was a nurse, and she had very similar symptoms, Lyme symptoms and Epstein-Barr symptoms, chronic fatigue, joint pain, muscle pain, Hashimoto's diagnosis. And her symptoms started after she got a round of Hep B shots. She, as a nurse, had to get several different vaccinations to be able to work in the hospital. And she was well aware that after she had gotten those vaccines, that everything shifted. She was diagnosed Hashimoto's right after that. And she's kind of never been the same since. Again, another patient, I believe, kind of on the same day, a similar situation. This was a younger girl who, after her vaccinations at 12 years old, and so this was one where they didn't connect the dots, but they knew that everything shifted for her in eighth grade. And she had a huge shifting of brain-based symptoms and menstrual cycle issues and fatigue, and lots of things shifted in eighth grade. And one of the things we pinpointed back, because again, I always kind of casually ask, when was your last vaccine? And they said, well, actually, she had a bad vaccine reaction in seventh grade to one of the shots that she got. And I'm like, okay, so bad vaccine reaction, seventh grade, and eighth grade, your symptoms started. And it's like the lights went off for her and her mom. And they're like, oh my gosh, we never really connected the dots that that was connected to that. But yeah, that makes sense, because we got the vaccine at the end of the seventh grade. And then the symptoms started like in the summer before eighth grade. And oh my gosh, it totally makes sense. You know, that was the precursor. So again, I could give you so many different stories of this is just a story I hear over and over. Sometimes people put it together, sometimes they don't. I have to put it together for them. Another patient I'm thinking of, young girl, she was diagnosed with PANDAS. And if you don't know what PANDAS is, it stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorder Associated with Streptococcus, which is why we call it PANDAS instead of its full name. And that's actually a condition that I'll spend an entire episode on later. But basically, it's a reactivated strep infection where strep triggers an autoimmune reaction in the brain. And then suddenly, after a strep infection, a patient, a child typically, then begins seeing this massive shift in behavior and brain-based symptoms. And so this child was diagnosed with PANDAS, and they were trying to get it under control and doing all of these things. And then, not knowing any better, they then got her vaccinated, and it completely sent her PANDAS through the roof, her symptoms through the roof. Then that is what then brought them in to see me. So I could just go tell you so many different versions, but it's all the same story. It's just a different version. Another thing that I've been seeing lately is patients who came in to see me, they got better. I didn't hear from them for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, I'm hearing from them again because their symptoms came back after getting their COVID vaccine. So a couple of people I'm thinking of right now, this was a person, she was diagnosed rheumatoid arthritis. It became very clear that what was at the root of it was a mycoplasma, Lyme, and EBV, and I think CMV she had as well. So she had these chronic infections. We treated her for them. She did amazingly well. All of her symptoms went away. She got off all of her medications. And she was one of those, like, you know, 100% better, not taking medications anymore. I haven't heard from her because she's been doing great. And then I get a phone call from her, and she's like, Dr. Stanga, I got the COVID vaccine and all my symptoms came back. And I'm like, yeah, remember when we talked about how vaccines are a triggering event to immune dysregulation? And so all the work that we did to restore the immune function and balance it back out and bring those infections dormant, the vaccine is what triggered it again. It dysregulated the immune system. So all those same infections from before have reactivated. And so basically we started her from scratch. We started over with the immune therapy, treating all of the same infections because all of her same symptoms came back, and she is halfway through and she's already feeling better. The symptoms are going away again, and she's doing well. And so that's something that, again, I'm seeing, unfortunately, more now than I ever did before, because we've had this new vaccine come out and people are getting it. I had another patient, she was mid-protocol. She was doing amazing, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia gone. And then all of a sudden I get it, you know, and she's almost towards the end of treatment. We're about to be done. And she calls me up. She's like, all of my symptoms came back. And I'm like, well, this doesn't make any sense. This is not normally what I see at this point in the process. And then I think to ask him, like, did you get the COVID vaccine? I'm like, when did your symptoms start? She was like, 3 weeks ago, started 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, okay. And this is like May 24th that we're having this conversation. And I'm like, have you gotten the COVID vaccine? She's like, yeah, I got it. I got it the 1st of May. I'm like, 3 weeks ago? She's like, yeah. She's like, do you think that was it? And I'm like, yeah, that was it. So into another situation where doing great. We're almost done with the protocol, got the vaccine, and then it set her all the way back. And so we're kind of navigating through that. So my point in telling you these examples is I felt like this was the one triggering event that really kind of needed to share some backup stories, that this isn't something like, oh, ever so often I hear. It's pretty, you know, repeated. It's what I hear really on a daily basis in different versions, but kind of the same story. And so to say that it's not would just be not logical. You know, we're dealing with something that's shifting the immune system. So of course it can. And I think that the smart, wise thing to do would be to have a conversation about it so that we can better understand who's susceptible, you know, who may have a reaction and who wouldn't, you know, not to say like, don't ever vaccinate. Like, let's be smart about it. Let's educate people. Let's understand how immune systems work. Let's give informed consent. Let's tell people what to look for. Let's let them know that there's contraindications that could make you more susceptible. And these are the sorts of things that would make sense to me to do. So this is a part of why I bring this topic up. So one thing that people say is, so are you saying like, so then this is an anti-vaccine talk? Like, no, the way I explain is like, listen, just like I wouldn't say I'm anti-pregnancy, just because we talked about how pregnancy can be a triggering event and that some certain people do respond in a negative way after pregnancy, me being one of them. And yet I got pregnant again, right? After this triggering event happened to me. And so what it really is about is informed consent. What it's really about is knowing what to look for, knowing the right information to make the best informed decisions for your health and for your family's health. So you can't have too much information. And this is a subject where I do feel like sometimes information can be lacking. And so I thank you guys for listening to this episode with open hearts and minds. Really looking forward to the next episode that we record, where I'm going to have patients come in and share their real life stories about reactivated infections and about treatment and their triggering events. In fact, one of the patients, their triggering event was a vaccination. We'll get to hear real life stories from people so that you can better understand what this looks like. And so really looking forward to that. I thank you guys for listening this week and look forward to talking to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Functional Medicine Unfiltered Podcast. Please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform so we can continue helping you thrive. For information on how Dr. Stanga can help you with your own health issues, please visit us at www.drstanga.com to learn more.